I would like to read a passage of scripture taken from Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. And in this passage, Paul is speaking of baptism as symbolic of the death and resurrection of Christ and our own salvation, because in salvation our sins are buried and we have been risen to new life in Christ. So Paul is using this passage to refute those who are saying that if you're saved by grace, then you can continue in sin. And Paul says, no, we have died to the old, and we are alive to the new. Romans chapter 6, verse 1 to 11. Please read along with me, if you can. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who die to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. I would like to share a few thoughts with you from Romans chapter 6, verses 8 to 11. Because in this chapter, Romans chapter 6, Paul is responding to someone who listened or might have read chapter 5, where Paul was saying in Romans chapter 5 that we are saved by grace alone. And he also said that where sin abounds, grace even much more abounds. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 20, that's what he says. Where sin abounds, grace abounds. In other words, there is not too much sin that God's grace is not sufficient to forgive. The greatest sinner has not gone beyond the pale of God's grace. There is no one in this world who could say that they have sinned so much, they are so wicked and far away from God, that his grace is not sufficient. Paul says, the more sin increases, the more God's grace increases. And based on this statement, Paul, thinking of someone who might be saying in response, therefore, if grace increases where sin increases, therefore, I can go on sinning because God's grace is sufficient. So that's what Paul is answering here in chapter 6. And he's refuting this with a very strong statement. In verse 6, in chapter 6, verse 2, he says, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase?" And Paul says, "May it never be, or God forbid." God forbid. And then he further explains the reason why that should not be. If a Christian, if a sinner is saved, then he or she cannot continue in sin. And so he uses baptism as a picture of what a Christian has experienced, what a sinner has experienced. So what we did here this morning when Vahida and Omid and the clan got baptized, that is a picture of a Christian life. It is a picture of the death and resurrection of Christ himself. So what happened? What was this picture displaying in through baptism? Well, in water baptism, there is a sign. So when they went under the water, that's a sign that their sins were buried under the water. It's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, who after he died, he was buried, showing that he died to sin. So when someone becomes a Christian, God forgives us all our sins. All our sins have been buried, as it were, in the deepest depth of God's ocean of memories, if I can use that. God does not remember our sins anymore. They are gone, they are buried, and that's it. They're under the water. They're under the ground. They're outside the sight of God. You know, a Christian, your sins have been buried. That's the first part of baptism that signifies the Christian's forgiveness. Now, when the candidates came out of the water, that's a picture of the resurrection of Christ. Right? After the third day, he came back from the grave, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's resurrection. Resurrection. And that's the gospel. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when he rose from the dead the third day, Jesus Christ came back to a new kind of life. Resurrection life. It's the life of the age to come. It's a different kind of life. And that life implies that Jesus Christ could no longer die. He could no longer be crucified. He could not be crucified a second time. See, that's what it says in Romans chapter 6 and verse 9. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Is never to die again. It's impossible for death to have put Jesus Christ in the grave, because his life was of a different realm, a different kind of life. It's resurrection life. And you see, resurrection is not resuscitation. Neither is it reincarnation. See, there are some who believe in reincarnation, that when they die, they come back in a different form, maybe as a bird or a dog. What kind of dog would you like to be? No? My wife and I live in a building where almost everyone owns a dog, and my wife does not like dogs. Pets. No, that's okay. There are other people here who same thing. But there is this neighbor of us who has this very big, I don't want to use the word ugly because all pets are pretty. very big dog. And it so happens that almost every time she enters into the elevator, our neighbor comes out with his dog. And my wife would wave him in the elevator and said, "Oh, I'll take the next one." But there was a day when she and I were going into the elevator and he came out at the same time. And I went in with him and she was hesitating a little bit. And he said, "Coming in." And I said to her, "Coming in." I said, "You got to deal with your fears." So she came in and all was well. Okay? Reincarnation. Some people believe in that, but that's not true. It's resurrection. And when one is resurrected, when Jesus Christ is resurrected, he possessed a new kind of body. He was not the same prior to his death. It was a different body. There are some who believe that Jesus Christ was able to go through doors without opening the doors. He had a spiritual body. Let's put it that way. His body was not limited to the limitations of this life. After he resurrected, he could not have get tired, hungry, couldn't die, couldn't get sick. It was the resurrected body. It was the body that God intended for us before Adam and Eve sinned and we fall. So when we are saved, when a sinner is saved, he or she receives resurrection life. But the difference between the Christian and Christ after he rose is that we are still in this frail body of us, right? So we still get sick, we still get tired. But when we are saved, we have resurrection life because the Spirit now lives in us. The Holy Spirit lives in us. And that's the difference between a Christian and one who is not a Christian. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, right? They were baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, and he dwells in every believer, which means that every Christian possesses or is possessed with resurrection life. The life of the Spirit dwells in us. Right? So death is the forgiveness of sins. It's buried. Resurrection is the reception of new life, the new kind of life that we possess. No, we all will die if Christ does not return. We shall die again physically, and this body of us will be buried or cremated, whatever form of disposal. But then when Christ returns, Christians will be given a new kind of body, different to the one that we have presently. Why is that the case? Well, God gives us a new body so that we can exist in heaven with him in eternity. You see, we cannot live in heaven with this body that we have here. It's weak. It's subject to the vicissitudes of life. We cannot live in heaven with this body that we have. Think about it. How far can you go out into space with this body of us? Not too far. No one can go to Mars just like this. Right? You have to, when the astronauts go out there in space, they have to make sure they dress properly. Why? Because this body that we have is not able to live outside of atmosphere on Earth, because this body was created to live here. We are earthlings. But the new body that we shall possess after the resurrection is a heavenly body, so that we can live in heaven. The Bible says that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So, baptism is symbolic of the death and resurrection of Christ. It's symbolic of our initiation into the kingdom of God when we became Christians. Now, may I hasten to say here that baptism, water baptism, does not save anyone. Water baptism does not make anyone a Christian. That's the reason why we do not baptize babies. And so the baptism that was performed here, we call it adult baptism or believer's baptism. And we call it believer's baptism because one is saved only by believing in Christ, only by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And after one becomes a Christian by faith in Christ, then they follow the Lord Jesus Christ in water baptism. Because the Lord Jesus Christ told us in his word to go out and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So after you are saved, then you are baptized. And that's the reason why we do not baptize infants, because infants cannot believe. They don't have the capacity to understand the gospel. And so we do not baptize adults who are not saved either. Because if we baptize adults who are saved, all we are doing is just making them a wet sinner and bringing them back up a wet sinner. That's all. Baptism does not save. Why do we baptize in such manner? Well, as I said, it pictures the death and resurrection of Christ. We do not sprinkle, because we don't believe that this is a picture of the death and resurrection of Christ. We do not pour water on people's head. We plunge them in the water. We take them out, because this is a beautiful picture. And this is what Christ instructed us to do, right? One of the two ordinances that Christ left with us, baptism and the Lord's Supper. So I recall a few Sundays ago, can I tell them this, that you wanted to take the Lord's Supper and you were wondering why you couldn't, and you were told that, well, you have to be a Christian and be baptized, and then you can take the Lord's Supper. Now, we do allow people who are not baptized to participate, partake of the Lord's Supper, but I would strongly encourage anyone who has not been baptized, but you profess to be a Christian, you profess faith in Christ, but you have not gone through immersion, I strongly encourage you to follow Christ. It's not just the church's teaching. It is Jesus' words that we should be baptized. And we immerse because one of the reasons, the meaning of the word baptize, means to immerse, not sprinkle. Baptizo in the Greek means to immerse in water, to go under the water. So, baptism is the beginning of the Christian life. Symbolically speaking, you made a public declaration that now you have decided to follow Christ. It's a public declaration, but it's not the end. Now the struggle has begun in the Christian life. There will be testing, there will be trials as you travel along this road. But take heart, Jesus Christ promised that he will never leave you. nor forsake you. You said, I will be with you all the days of your life. So don't give up. And there is no second baptism, right? You don't have to be baptized again. It's done once and for all, just like Christ died once and for all, in the same way you are baptized once and for all. So may the Lord encourage you and keep you all the days of your life.